What do you say happened at the Foreign Office?
I will not go into the detail of the allegation, but as I say in my letter, a group of colleagues came to see me. They laid out their case that Mr. Pincher had behaved inappropriately, and there was an investigation. The complaint was upheld, and Mr. Pincher apologized and undertook not to repeat. As far as I know, there was no repetition at the Foreign Office, and that is all I know about the Foreign Office.
What happened then to the information about the inquiry that had been held and the result of that inquiry? How did it get to Number 10 and to Mr. Johnson?
I briefed the relevant senior official in the Cabinet Office. You will understand that such complaints about ministers are very rare, very sensitive. They are dealt with at the very top level. And so I had the help and support of the Cabinet Office through the investigation.
And are you convinced, are you sure that the Cabinet Office in person told Mr. Johnson about it?
I know that the senior official briefed the Prime Minister in person because that official told me so at the time.
So there's no question in your mind that Mr. Johnson knew in person, had been told in person about what happened at the Foreign Office?
Correct.
So when Will Quince, the Children's Minister, said to us yesterday, I've been given a categoric assurance that the Prime Minister was not aware of any specific allegations or complaints relating to the former Deputy Chief Whip, that's not true, is it?
The categorical assurance was wrong.
What do you make of that?
I do not think that is the way to behave. It is very unusual for a retired official to do what I have done this morning. I did it by myself because what I have seen and read over the last few days, I knew to be wrong. And you know, things get to a point where you have to do the right thing.
What some of those who've defended Number 10 have said is that during the course of all of this, they have relied on, well, for instance, the word resolved to cover what happened to Mr. Pincher at the Foreign Office. And they've pointed out, and indeed Dominic Raab pointed out to me a few minutes ago on this programme, that no further action was taken by the Foreign Office. In other words, the degree of seriousness is such that perhaps we're over-exaggerating the importance of the whole thing.
I disagree with that, and I dispute the use of the word resolved. For me, resolved is too positive a word. It sounds as though a happy and agreed conclusion was reached. No, the complaint was upheld. So to leave the impression that in some way exonerated is wrong.
Why have you decided to say this now? You pointed out that it's very unusual for a former senior official to say these things and to be as public as you have. You could have done this behind the scenes. Why have you been so public about it?
Well, two things. First of all, Number 10 have had 5 full days to get the story correct. And that has still not happened. And second, I do not approve of anonymous briefings behind the scenes. If I was to do this, I should put my name to it rather than just phone a journalist and tip them off.
How is it possible that Mr. Johnson was briefed specifically in person about this investigation, but Mr. Raab, who was Foreign Secretary at the time, didn't know?
That does not surprise me. I mean, because there are compartments in government, these things are very sensitive. So if there had been a conversation between Prime Minister and Foreign Secretary, that would have been perfectly in order. But there not to be a conversation, I can also believe.
But if it was as serious as you seem to be suggesting, surely you would have had a conversation with Mr. Raab.
I did have a conversation with Mr. Raab.
What did you tell him?
the outcome of the investigation and the outcome of my meeting with Mr. Pincher.
But you didn't tell him that the Prime Minister had been informed?
That was not part of our conversation.
Where do you think this leaves 10 Downing Street? What do you need to hear? What do we all need to hear, do you think?
I think they need to come clean. I think that the language is ambiguous. It's sort of the sort of telling the truth and crossing your fingers at the same time and hoping that people are not too forensic in their subsequent questioning. And I think that is not working.
Well, look, thank you very much for talking to us, Lord McDonnell, this morning. And listening to Lord McDonnell, there was Chris Mason, the BBC's political editor. Where